Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Mr. Sindiso Sibanda, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I'm blessed and highly favored in yourself.
Oh, man, same. Quite blessed, I must say, and of course, favored of the Lord. Now, Sindiso, we're going to be talking about privacy law, which I think affects every one of us. And those who are listening, welcome to the show. We're having Sindiso Sibanda on the line. The right to privacy is recognized as a fundamental human right in the Bill of Rights of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, and is projected in terms of the Constitution and the common law. Now, let's talk about a little bit more, actually, about its provisions and limitations. Now, Sindiso, please take us through the provisions of the privacy law in South Africa. What is POPIA?
Zama, I go into POPIA, obviously, as an introduction, I'd like to emphasize that the right to privacy is protected in terms of both common law and in terms of Section 14 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. A person's right to privacy entails that such person should have control of his or her personal information and be able to conduct his or her personal affairs freely and without any unwanted intrusions. Mm-hmm. Now, Section 14 of the Constitution provides that everyone has the right to privacy. And the right to privacy includes the right not to be searched, not to have their home searched, mm-hmm. Or their property searched, or possessions seized, and finally, the privacy of their communication infringed upon. Mm. Sections 14A, B, and C of the Constitution seek to protect an individual from unlawful search and seizures. This is obviously by the police in the conducting of investigations. Okay. And then Section 14D accommodates a broader protection of privacy, which obviously entails the common law aspect of the protection of privacy. Mm. The right to privacy, Zama, on its own is not an absolute right. Okay. It has to be limited. It is limited in terms of the law of general application, contained in Section 36 of the Constitution, which is referred to as the Limitation Clause. Mm. Mm. Now, back to your question, Zama, what is POPIA and what is the POPI Act? Mm-hmm. Right. POPIA, or what many people would refer to as POPI, was promulgated on November 26, 2013, mm. and it is designed to promote the right to privacy in terms of the Constitution, while at the same time protecting the flow of information and advancing the right of access to such information. Remember, information is essential. It must flow, and it cannot be curtailed. Mm-hmm. So in this case, the Act seeks to balance how that information flows. So POPI defines the rights and duties that are designed to safeguard personal data. Mm. So in terms of POPI, the legitimate needs of any organization to collect or use data for business or any other purposes are balanced against the rights of such individuals to have their privacy protected. So it is critical to have a balance, as I said, that the right to privacy is not absolute. There must be a balance. Information mm-hmm. must flow. And information that flows sometimes contains personal details and personal information. Mm-hmm. So the next question is, what does it apply to? Okay. POPI applies to the processing of any data, that data may be processed by the responsible person. Responsible person is the person who is processing that data.
Okay.
And that could include a particular individuals or particular organization.
Mm-hmm.
If you are processing any data, you must comply with POPI. You must handle data in accordance with the POPI Act. So the purpose of the Act is contained in Section 2 of the Act, and it sets out the rules and practices which must be followed when you are processing any information. It also grants rights to individuals Zama, in respect of their information that is being processed, and it also regulates the manner in which the information is processed. It creates an independent regulator. Zama, this independent regulator is of the same stead as the High Court. So we'll get to that when we look at the issues of what happens when there is a violation of the POPI Act. So we'll come back to the issue of the regulator in this case.
Mm.
Now, it also balances the rights of privacy against the rights of others. And it also protects important information, including the interest of information to flow within the Republic or out of the Republic. And finally, Zama, it provides persons with rights and remedies in the event that their information has or there's been an infringement in terms of the use of their personal information.
Mm.
So we've already said that the POPI Act applies to the information that is processed. It applies to information that may be processed automatically.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to information that is processed through or that is recorded on paper. It applies to health records and certain public authorities. And this reminds me, Zama, of a mm-hmm. case, I think one of the most popular cases that has been in our courts, which is the Zuma versus Karen Moon case.
Oh, yeah.
There were certain medical records that were leaked, our the former president Zuma took this matter to court to challenge the dissemination of such personal information.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, what are your rights, Zama, in relation to the POPI Act or the protection of your personal information? The right of you as a data subject are contained in Section 5 of the Act. And these include a list of rights. The data subject, that is Zama in this case, has the right to have his information processed in accordance with the boundaries set by the POPI Act. And it must be done lawfully and in terms of Chapter 3 of the Act. And this right include the right to be notified, Zama, that somebody contains personal information about you or personal information has been collected about you by somebody else. And this is contained in Section 18 of the Act. You also have the right to know that personal information has been accessed or acquired by an unauthorized person, and this is contained in Section 22 of the Act. It also entails that you must be able to establish whether a responsible person, in other words, the person who has collected your data, or holds such data or holds such personal information about you, and you have the right to request access to such information. You have the right to find out what sort of information does the responsible person have about you. And that is contained in Section 23 of the Act. You also have the right to request any correction of such information. You have the right to request that such information be destroyed or deleted from that responsible party's data. This is contained, Zama, in Section 24 of the Act. You also have to have the right to object on reasonable grounds, obviously, to the processing of your personal information, because sometimes you may feel aggrieved by the processing of your personal information, and this is contained in Section 11, 3 of the Act. You also have the right, when you feel that your rights have been interfered with, you have a right to submit a complaint to the regulator. And I've said earlier on that the regulator sits in the same stead as the High Court, right? So when you are approaching the regulator, I know that people, as people approach certain forums, they believe that certain forums are inferior than maybe, for instance, the High Court or Magistrate Court or whatever forum that you've approached. And in this case, the regulator is of the same stead as the High Court, and this is contained in Section 74. You can also institute civil proceedings where you feel that there's been an interference with the data that has been collected, or data that has been collected without your knowledge or without you having agreed to that data being being collected. The Act also applies to the processing of personal information, and that personal information must have been entered or recorded by the responsible person who is either domiciled in the Republic or that person is not domiciled in the Republic but uses automated or non-automated means that are within the Republic.
Very interesting.
So personal information, Zama, what does it mean? We've been talking about personal information, and I'm sure people are wondering, what does this personal information entail? Personal information relates to any information which is linked to an identifiable living natural person, or where it is applicable, an identifiable existing juristic person. And this includes but is not limited to information relating to race, gender, sex, pregnancy, marital status, nationality, ethnicity, social social origin, and so on and so forth. Quite a number of lists that relate to personal information. It also relates to education or medical, financial or criminal records. It may also relate to any identifying numbers or symbol, for instance, your ID number, your email address, your physical address, or your telephone number. Any identifiable or number or symbol that is related to the data subject, we, in this case, which would be Zama. Any biometric information, that is your fingerprints, any other personal information or views, or your views or your preferences, Zama, they are protected in terms of the POPI Act. Any correspondence that we have, you and I, if we are sending each other emails in the background, and those emails are sent by persons, I'm assuming, I don't know, but people may exchange explicit emails or explicit details about themselves. Things of a confidential nature are protected by the POPI Act. Your views and opinions, or the views and opinions of other individuals about me or about Zama, those are protected. So if anybody has any views about yourself, those are protected in terms of the POPI Act. And then the name of the person, your name, as well as any other personal information, where if such information is disclosed would reveal your identity, that information is also protected. Now, what do I do when my rights have been infringed. So in this case, Sama, as I said, you may lodge a complaint with the regulator in the prescribed manner. There's a form that you would lodge with the regulator, and you would submit that complaint to the regulator in the prescribed form. If you feel aggrieved by the decision of the regulator, you can also lodge a grievance with the regulator in terms of the person who adjudicated on that particular complaint. The regulator has a decision to make. The regulator may decide to take action or to take no action in terms of the complaint, or they may refer the complaint to a regulatory body. Depends, they've got a choice to whom they direct the complaint to. For instance, let's say your medical records have been exposed. The regulator may decide to direct your complaint probably to the health department to deal with that. If it's educational qualifications or anything of that nature, they may direct it to the Department of Education and so on and so forth. And then the regulator would conduct a pre-investigation before the proceedings, or the regulator might find a way of settling that a particular complaint.
Yeah, yeah.
The investigation process of the regulator, Zama, for purposes of the investigation of the complaint, the regulator may issue summons and enforce the appearance of any person before the regulator, or compel them to give oral or written evidence on oath, or to produce any records that may be necessary for the determination of a particular a finding after a complaint has been lodged with the regulator. Zama, you chose, I know that we don't have as much time as we do, and you chose a very interesting subject.
In fact, I think we're going to have part two of this so that you can actually continue from where you left off, so that we can actually uncover many of the things that you may not have said here. But here's a question, Cindy, so that's coming up, on the line. It says, well, interesting conversations, they say. And my question is around entities, particularly companies, who have never received permission for us to have our personal information and solicit marketing materials. What is the recourse? That's a question from the listener.
The recourse is obviously contained in Section 74, Zama. You have to lodge a complaint with the regulator.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have lodged a complaint with the regulator would do their pre-investigation, and then they would determine whether to call the party to answer to the particular complaint. So it's very essential, and it's a very good question, Zama, that the callers are asking. And you find that a lot of people receive phone calls, for instance, from different entities, and they are selling this and that marketing material. First things first, you need to determine at all times when you receive a call from whom they have sourced that information. Mm-hmm. It is a very critical question to ask. So the first thing, somebody calls you, good day, Zama. My name is Cindy Sospanda. I'm calling from such and such and such a company. I would like to, the first question that you ask is, good day, Cindy. So please tell me where you got information, my information from. Where did you get my number from? And you record where they got that number from. And normally they are very evasive. They'll tell you, there's a database. Where is this database coming from? You need to understand.
Yeah. Wow. Right, Cindy, so I must thank you so much for coming through. It's really been a very, very enlightening conversation. A lot still to cover. I do think that we'll have to organize a part two of this session. But for today, I want to thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much, Zama.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.